Heavenly Father, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips and only your word would be spoken. Open our ears and only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you and be healed. This we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'd please turn with me in our Bibles to Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1065. Page 1065. Just to set the context a little bit for this reading, the Pharisees and Sadducees have been challenging Jesus time and time again because he seemed to be speaking against the law of Moses and doing things that Jews just weren't supposed to do. Things like, they've already criticized them because they weren't washing their hands, for instance, which was a tradition of the Jews. It was an important part of the Jewish observance of the law of fasting. And so they're confronting Jesus now about this word of fasting. So we pick up in Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, who is Jesus, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus said to them, "Can a wedding guest fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, and the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins." This is the word of the Lord. Our topic today is talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and manifestation of those gifts, particularly the power that is released when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, particularly talking about the gifts of prophecy, which I spoke of last week. And today, a little bit more risky, is to talk about the spiritual gift of tongues. What is that? This is not a new truth. It is not a new gospel. But for many of us, it's something that we were not raised on. In fact, many of us were told that this is something that ceased, cessationist, that the gifts of the Spirit were no longer active in the church today. I suspect some of you maybe have been raised in that tradition, in that teaching. I do not believe that's the case. I think any interpretation along those lines is very tenuous. But in fact, we see the gifts of the Spirit being manifested today. And so it's important for us, I think, to understand what do the Scriptures reveal about those gifts. And particularly today, we see Paul devotes a whole chapter to talking about the gifts of prophecy versus the gift of tongues. So we want to try to understand that. But again, for many of us, it's like taking new wine to put into new wineskins. Again, this is not a new truth or a new gospel, but for some of us, it's a stretch. Can our wineskins withstand this biblical teaching? And so it may be a stretch for us today, but we want to talk about the spiritual gifts of prophecy, particularly today, tongues, because I believe there is a power that is released in it, and it's a power that we need today, not only in our church, but in fact in our own individual lives. Before we go through this, I just want to say some amazing things that Paul had said. I want you all to speak in tongues. That's a pretty amazing statement. I want you all to speak in tongues. He says elsewhere that he speaks in tongues more than anyone. He says, now I want you all to do this as well. So like it's now again, we remember the Scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we say, well, Paul thinks we should speak, but you know, who's he? But if we believe these are inspired by the Holy Spirit, then it's the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul saying, this is one of my gifts, and I want you all to use it. I wish that all of you would use it. Now, there's some things he says that seem to be conflicting about this tongues, which is maybe one reason why it is controversial, because people can look at it and say, well, he says this one place and he says this another place. And certainly I do not argue at all that people would say that these gifts of the Holy Spirit, not just, you know, tongues or prophecy, but others as well, have been abused. They've been abused. The thing is, when you see something that's abused, does that mean you say, okay, we're just going to disregard that totally? Or do we say, wait a minute, how is it being abused? What is it to be done decently and in order, as Paul says in this 14th chapter of Corinthians, particularly in a church environment? I believe it's absolutely true that anything that is of God, the enemy will counterfeit and will try to abuse. And I think he's been very successful, particularly in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and particularly in these gifts. So we need to walk with caution, I believe that, to try to understand what is it that the Scriptures are saying to us, and then how do we apply that in the church, and how do we apply it in our own lives. But this is a pretty amazing statement that Paul's saying, when he says, I want all of you to speak in tongues. First, let me just give a kind of refresher. When we're talking about this, we talked last week, the gift of prophecy, where it's a word of encouragement, a word of upbuilding, which is why Paul says it's so important for the church to be encouraged, to be upbuilt. It's a word that someone would mention, and we've kind of heard it here sometimes, a word that it seems like God is speaking through a person to somebody else, to the rest of the people here who are gathered. Something like, my people, I love you, I am with you, I will never forsake you, trust in me with all your heart. Many times it's just the words of Scripture being used again. But it's things that are spoken within a group, and then we're told that the rest of us are to discern and to weigh what has been said. So it's not just we take anything that's been said, say, oh, that must be from God. We, as a body, need to discern that. Most importantly, is it consistent with the teachings of Holy Scripture? That is our guide, and we rest on that. So yes, it's a controversial thing. There's some risk involved whenever we're trying to hear the voice of God. But I believe, particularly in terms of prophecy, it's something that we need to be upbuilding the church, so we need this gift to be manifested. Now, likewise, Paul talks about tongues. I believe we also need, not only as a body, but individually, the gift of tongues. Now, again, as prophecy is a word from God that we would understand, tongues is something that we would not understand. Cantata matonos, o josode de matonos, ungo sode de matona parana casade de, and beach of Saturnus or Gosuri de Patama. That's an example of what's known as the gift of tongues. It's unintelligible. Okay, it's not something. Now, we want to look at different kinds of tongues, and I think this is where a lot of the confusion comes as well. Paul says one thing, and then he seems to say another that contradicts it. I've listened to a number of teachings on this, just preparation for this sermon today, and I've learned some things this week that I never knew, and I've preached on this many times, and yet a new revelation, again, not a new truth, but new revelations about this. And I think something that I've learned this week is to distinguish that there are different kinds of tongues that Paul is talking about, and we need to ask ourselves, when he makes a statement, which one of those is he talking about? Which one of those is he talking about? So let me just explain these. First of all, we have what's called a translation, and this is what was experienced on the day of Pentecost. Remember, the disciples, the apostles, Peter stood up and others, and they spoke in their native Galilean language, but all the people heard a different language from all, you know, Cilicia and all the other places. And I've heard people this week give teachings and profess that they've seen this in their own church, where someone will say something like I just did, but it turns out it is some kind of an earthly language. There is a language. One example I heard is someone was speaking and they had no idea. Somebody came up after them who was a Greek scholar, and they said, do you realize you were just speaking perfect ancient Greek? And they're like, no, I don't know Greek. Another example I heard was someone was saying something, and somebody was a French professor and came up and said, boy, that was beautiful French. And the person said, I don't know French. So there's, and of course, that's a miracle. Okay, so evidently that has happened in the church and evidently continues to happen, that somebody will speak something in a group and it will be a language that exists on the earth. As Paul said that, there's many earthly languages. And there's a translation that's known because that person would understand what's being said because they know French or they would know Greek. Okay, so that's one kind where we see a translation of what is actually a known language in somewhere in the world, something I may not know if I'm speaking it, but that somebody else does. So it's actual language in the world, and that's translation. Now, the other one is where we have interpretation. And this is also specified as one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, where something is spoken like I just did, give an example, and it's not an earthly language, but somebody else here is then given a spiritual gift of God to interpret what, in fact, the Holy Spirit had just spoken through me. So the way it works is someone would give a word of a tongue, kamarono to sore da patamanos, and then there would kind of be a pause, and someone else would speak in English and say, my people, I love you, and I am with you. So there we would have an example of a gift of tongues, and then also the gift of interpretation. Now, there's some challenges with this that's always made me very uneasy. Is Paul says, unless there's an interpretation, you shouldn't speak in tongues in a group. And well, how do you know if there's going to be an interpretation? Because you have to wait until you would give that word in a tongue, and then you're just hoping. And I've heard of churches saying that. There's like this, you know, pregnant pause, like, oh my goodness, I hope we get a translation here, or we're violating, you know, the scriptures, we're speaking against the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes a person will give it, and then they'll also give the interpretation. But this is where we see two gifts working together, and this is for a larger group, where we have somebody would speak, and then someone else would give an interpretation. Now, as we heard in Paul's reading, he said this is okay to be doing in a church environment, in a gathering of the body of Christ. Why? Because it's meant for building up the body. Okay, so either it's building up the body, in which case it's a word with an interpretation. Or, as we'll see elsewhere, Paul says this is a gift for unbelievers. Can you imagine if someone came here, let's say we had an exchange student came from Greece, and somebody gives a word here, and that Greek student who's not a believer is like, wow, that person's speaking my language. If that person's not a believer, that's a pretty impressive sign, right? And so that's where Paul talks. At one point, he says it's a sign for unbelievers, because if they can understand what's being said and they were not a believer, it would really tell them something, that a miracle has happened. God is among you, because this person doesn't know Greek, and yet this person heard it in their own native language. And so this is what's for the body of Christ if there's a translation or an interpretation. Now, I'm not aware of anybody in our church that has the gift of interpretation. So that's why I would say we do not see us manifesting this gift of tongues in this church setting. Okay? I don't advocate that. I'm not promoting it. Somehow we'd have to have a sense that there's someone who's going to give an interpretation, or else this is simply not to be done in a church setting, because things are to be done decently and in order. And again, if you read through 1 Corinthians 14, you'll see distinguishing, you know, between interpretation and a tongue, that unless there's interpretation, it should not be done in a church setting. So that's why we do not advocate it here, and you don't hear it here. Now, if we were it, I would have to really, you know, find out, investigate, pray about what's happening. But as of yet, I'm not aware of anyone who has the gift of interpretation, the point that we would hear this kind of thing being spoken in a church. So those are two gifts that are for the larger body. But the other thing that mostly I think we're talking about, and that Paul is talking about, is when the gift of tongues is used as a private, personal prayer language. And that's when we have, as Paul said, this is for building up ourselves. So prophecy is for building up the church with a word that's understandable, but a tongue is for building up the individual. Now, this is something that is just between me and God. Between me and God. Okay? And so this is something that I use. I find it very helpful. It's just times, I guess, when you don't know what to say, and so you start to speak in a tongue, and you have a sense that the Holy Spirit, in fact, is speaking to you. And I'm going to show some examples of each of these now as we go through this 1 Corinthians 14. But let me just say this thing about a personal prayer language is something you're speaking simply just to God. So this is for building you up, but it's not a prideful thing. It's not a prideful thing, but it's something that connects you with God. Now, the fourth one is, I think, perhaps the most useful in terms of intercession. And that's when we're trying to pray for someone else. and we don't know what to pray. Now, I think normal things in our humanness, in our worldliness, if someone is sick, someone we love very dearly, and they're sick, what's our first prayer? Is, Lord, please heal that person. If someone's good throwing a difficult time, you know, in a family relationship or financially, Lord, please relieve them of that stress, relieve them of that burden, relieve them of that challenge, because we want our loved ones to have lives that are comfortable and able to get along, right? So the first thing we're praying against is, God, remove this obstacle, remove this challenge, when in fact God may be saying, no, I'm using this challenge to do something in this person's life. And so I've said that before we pray for someone for healing, for instance, we need to ask God, Lord, what do you want me to pray for? Is it your desire to heal this person? Particularly when you're dealing with people who are long in years. It's, may God say, no, I'm preparing this person to bring them home. Don't be asking me to heal them. Ask me to give them comfort. Ask me to give them, you know, peace. But it's not my intention. Now, it's kind of hard maybe to hear that voice of God and to distinguish, well, what is the Lord saying? What should I pray for? What I find very comforting is when I want to pray for someone, I can simply say, Holy Spirit, please intercede through me and pray for whatever this person needs according to the will of God. And then I pray for that person in a tongue. And I'm just praying and trusting that the Holy Spirit is speaking through me, and the Holy Spirit is speaking for that person so that they would have what they really need to be receiving. Okay? So those are four kinds, I think, of the way Paul uses speaking in tongues. Two are for a body of Christ, I think rare, depending on the body. But these other two for personal use, I think, are very, very important, and I believe for us very powerful. And so now let me go through this reading that we heard from Paul in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, pursue love, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Why? Because that's for building up the body. He says, one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Okay, so speaking in a tongue, we're actually speaking to God. Okay, that's in verse 2. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? So if we're praying personally to God, we're uttering mysteries in the Spirit. That's the way Paul describes that. In verse 4, he says, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Again, not a prideful way, but builds us up spiritually. It raises us up. It connects us with God. It blesses us. It empowers us spiritually because of this personal language that we're using. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, this is where we said, now I want all of you to speak in tongues. Wow. Now, here's something. And earlier, Paul talked about spiritual gifts, and he says, you know, there are apostles, there's teachers, there's those who speak in tongues, and so forth. He says, do all prophesy? And the implied answer is no. Do all speak in tongues? The answer implied is no. But now here he is saying, but I want all of you to speak in tongues. What I find understandable is if we say that, does everyone speak in a tongue? Or I think in a church setting, the answer is no. Is now, because does everyone have the gift of interpreting? No. In fact, very few people seem to have it. But now when he's saying, but I want all of you, I wish all of you would speak, I think he's talking about this personal prayer language, where it's personally for building ourselves up in terms spiritually with God and also interceding on others. So this is one way, I think, if we look at where the contrast of what Paul's saying one place and where he's saying another, we can understand that if we look at these four different kinds of tongues and ask ourselves, well, which one is he talking about now? I think it's very consistent in looking at Paul's letters that he kind of has a brain dump. You know, he just starts, you know, speaking off the cuff or writing off the cuff in that sense. You got to ask yourself, wait a minute, Paul just shifted gears there. You know, did we catch that gift shear, shifting of gears? And so it's tough sometimes, but I think if we keep this in mind, we have to ask ourselves, well, what kind of tongues was Paul thinking about at that point? If we use these descriptions, I think it helps us because we can say both at the same time, do all speak in tongues? No. But I wish that all of you would speak in tongues. I think he's talking about two different kinds there. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the body would be built up. So that's why he's saying, don't use this in a church setting unless there's someone here to interpret. Unless there's someone here to interpret. He goes on to say, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. But that's an interesting, and that's been my own experience, to have a sense that my spirit is praying, but my mind is unfruitful. Now, many of us are very used to speaking without thinking, right? We do that all the time, right? Put our foot in our mouth, you know, what were you thinking? Well, I wasn't thinking. We ask young people that, what were you thinking? I wasn't thinking. So many times we speak without thinking. Well, this is an intentional way of doing that, that our mind is unfruitful. And basically our spirit is speaking right through us without being cluttered by the mind. And we're speaking in the spirit, one of the ways of speaking in the spirit. So we're speaking in the spirit. It says, what am I to do? I will pray the spirit. I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with the spirit. Sometimes you'll hear people singing in tongues. But also, I will sing with my mind. Then he says, amazing statement, verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Well, which one's he talking? I think he's talking about the personal prayer language now. He's saying, in my personal prayer time, in my intercessor time for the church and for individuals, I speak in tongues a lot, more than all of you. He's certainly not talking about in a church setting, because there he says only two or three should speak at once. So Paul really believed in speaking in tongues and evidently used it a lot. He says, when we come together, if any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or three at most each turn, and let someone interpret. If there's not someone to give an interpretation, it shouldn't be done in a church body. He says, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. This is one of the warnings. People say, oh, I'm afraid if I give into that, I'll just lose control. No, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. No one can say to me, oh, I just couldn't control myself. I mean, yes, there's times that we have something burning in us, if it's a word of God or prophecy, and we just have to get it out. But ultimately, it is the spirit of the prophet. So I just couldn't help blurting it out. You know, I was speaking in tongues, and I'm saying, look, we shouldn't be doing that, and there's somebody in church. And somebody said, well, I just can't help it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can, because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. And if there's someone to interpret, we should not be having people speak in tongues. All things are to be done decently and in order. So these are some of the constraints. Are we quenching the spirit of God? No, we're abiding by Holy Scripture. Okay? Very, very important. God is not a confusion, but a God of peace. It says, so my brothers earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. We should not be telling people, don't do this, by the way. In church, yes, unless there's someone to interpret. But as far as a personal prayer language, I would encourage all of us and hope that all of us could. As Paul said, I wish that all of you would be able to speak in a tongue. Now again, what I find very powerful is not only for myself, if there's times I wonder, well, what should I be praying for? It's just so easy, just start praying in a tongue, just believing that the Holy Spirit, please intercede for me. Let me look at that in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. This is what Paul writes. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. How often do we feel that way? I don't know what to pray for. We don't know how to pray for what we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. What's he talking about? He's talking about tongues. Groanings too deep for words. And he who searches heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That's a pretty powerful statement. And so in my personal prayer life, to be praying in a tongue, to know just Holy Spirit intercede for me, I'm now praying to God, either glorifying him or thanking him or asking for what he knows that I really, really need. I find that very freeing. I find that I don't have to be worried about, am I asking for something that's inappropriate? Or God, should I be asking for that? I don't worry about that, because it's the Holy Spirit interceding through me to offer these prayers to God. It's very biblical and I believe very freeing. But here is even more so. What I feel about myself and not knowing what to pray, I apply it even more so to intercessory prayer and to praying for those around me, to praying for families, to be praying for the church. Like, Lord, what should I pray for? Should I pray for healing? Should I pray for relief from this financial situation that this person is dealing with? Should I pray about this relationship? And I try to hear, yes, and sometimes God will say, no, pray for this, and I'll respond, okay. But this is like a no-brainer, because we're not using our brain. But I say, Holy Spirit, please intercede for me. I want to pray for Peter. I got to think of a name. Somebody's not here. They're like, well, how can you pick my name? Pray for Peter. He's going through a difficult time. I'm not sure what God's doing in his life, but I'm going to start praying, Holy Spirit, please intercede for me to pray for Peter. And then I start praying in a tongue. I find that very, very powerful. And I think it's a power that we need today. Imagine what this does if we have actually the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is praying through us. Now, I grant you, this is a stretch. This is a stretch, but this is putting new wine in new wineskins for some of us. This is not a new truth. It's not a new gospel. It's something that's scriptural, but the Holy Spirit showing us ways that He manifests His power in us and through us, particularly through prayer and intercession, and through building ourselves up in terms spiritually, because we need that strength. Now, as I said, I've preached many times on the Holy Spirit and even the gifts of the Spirit. Something was different this week. I've never preached like this. I've never been this bold in proclaiming this or taking this much risk. And so I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, why now? Why wasn't these revelations come to me before? You know, all the times why is this different this week, Lord? In terms of calling the whole church to say what Paul said, I wish that all of us would speak in tongues. And the Lord said to me, it's time. Now is the time. Lord, why didn't I hear it before? Because now is the time. It's time. There's something about the time that we didn't get it before. I didn't get it before. Maybe some of you did. I didn't get it before. I'm getting it now. And calling us to be open to what the Scriptures reveal about things like the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And particularly how powerful it would be for us if we had a prayer language or a prayer way that in fact it is the Holy Spirit who is interceding for us. I mean, think of the possibilities for our church, for our families, and for us. So, it's time. The time is now. What that means, I'm not sure. But we need this power. And my prayer is that we would all be open to this. Some people say, well, how do you begin? How do you start? I just had someone pray with me who had done it before. And it's like sports. The more you do it, the better I think you get at it. As I think it's true with all prayer, even extemporaneous prayer. The more you do it, the better you get at it. But I think it's something of power that is the Holy Spirit. It's certainly scriptural. And I hope that we would all prayerfully consider, is the Holy Spirit calling me to use this, to surrender myself to Him, that He would intercede for me and my prayers. We're not only upbuilding myself spiritually, but also in terms of intercessing for those around me. New wine. It's for new wineskins. New wine. New wineskins. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. There's something about this time. Something's happening. The Spirit is moving and so is the enemy. We need these gifts of the Holy Spirit. The best is truly yet to come because God really does love us more than we can imagine. And I want to try to do something again I did last week. Again, a little bit unnerving maybe. But would someone else please close us in a prayer? Amen. And amen.